I spend a portion of my time bothering people, wandering around with a microphone and talking to them sometimes, whether they want to or not. It can be illuminating, and in no area more so than in tourism. In the two previous programs in this short series, I reflected on the disastrous fire at Summerland 50 years ago. I looked at the development of tourism on this island and why it resulted in the building of that ill-fated complex. I looked at the events of the night of August the 2nd, 1973, and the immediate aftermath. In this programme, I ask, where is Manx tourism going? Where does the government hope it will go? Ambitious indeed is their target, 500,000 visitors annually, of all sorts. 500,000 visitors? Is that possible? Don't give them what they think they want. Give them what they didn't think was possible. Do you know who said that? Well, I'll tell you in a moment. First, though, a quote which will be rather more familiar.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
The first quote was from the actor Orson Welles, incidentally. I am sufficiently long in the tooth to remember sitting on the railings on the promenade in Douglas, the previous railings, the previous promenade, and being entertained by the numbers of visitors. You could just sit there and watch them passing by and look at them and think, well, this is a jolly place to be. In those days, in the early 70s, the sweep of the boarding houses offered not just affordable accommodation, but entertainment as well. Douglas was an exciting place to be in the summer. It throbbed.
From the moment of arrival, it's flowers all the way as they start their first journey on this enchanted isle, swinging away from the airport on the drive to Douglas, capital of the island and its main holiday centre. Here, their fellow holidaymakers are already enjoying themselves, strolling through the lovely promenade gardens, soaking up the sunshine. Two girls move along rather more purposefully, determined not to miss a thing. But this chap is not quite so energetic. It's a bit too hot for all that effort. Some of his friends have decided to relax in Villa Marina Gardens, listening to the bands and entertainers, or just thoroughly enjoying themselves doing nothing in particular. The horse cars provide transport with a difference, of course, but in the Isle of Man they are far from alone in this. There are, of course, modern coaches waiting to take visitors to all parts of the island, for there is much to see.
Compare that with this comment made this year by a visitor to our island.
But then we went into Douglas on Friday night and Saturday night, and to be honest, I thought the town was shut. There was nobody there. I couldn't find. There was nobody in the streets. There was no buzz around the place.
Well, that's one person's point of view, but can he be alone? His ancestors were Manx and he came to the island for a holiday full of expectation. Douglas does have eyesores. One notably, the site of, ironically, Summerland, one place that really does need reinvention desperately. But it seems the difficulties in developing that site have condemned it to remain an eyesore. And it's not alone. Charles Gard has in the last year attracted much attention with his hard-hitting videos of the state of the capital city.
One thing we're not short of in Douglas is brownfield sites. Empty sites where buildings once stood, which are crying out for development. Actually, I've counted up to 30 of them in Douglas alone. Not just the prime one at Derby Castle, but also where the old Imperial Hotel stood on Douglas Prom. And then there's this one, the so-called Town Square on Loch Prom. Frankly, this continues to be an absolute disgrace. And that huge array of iron girders in the background, well, they could be there for years to come.
From time to time, the government produce a report on tourism. Now, gone are the heady days of a tourism department. Tourism is now absorbed into the enterprise department. But when Alex Allenson was enterprise minister, a report was produced. Producing reports of all sorts is, of course, a flourishing Manx industry. A report was produced called Our Island, Our Future, Isle of Man Visitor Economy Strategy 2022 to 2032. There's a new visitor target set. An ambitious one, 500,000 visitors a year. Though perhaps setting a target may be the wrong way round. why not provide the occasional wow factor with a product that is really good all round and sit back and watch the numbers rise? But putting that to one side, the years in which the island scored best with visitors' numbers was 1913, 663,000, and that was almost matched in millennium year 1979, when an enormous effort was made to bring people in. The Minister's foreword in this report says, "This document is firmly focused on the development of a more compelling and competitive visitor offer that will raise awareness of the Isle of Man as a visitor attraction." Now, top of most people's list of no-nos is the cost of travel here and away, of course. It's predictably one of the challenges that the report lists. It says, "It is perceived as a barrier for a significant proportion of our target and short break visitors. Is there a way, though, to drop this cost?" Well, let's return to visitor Norman Quirk, who's listed a series of things which, he says, seems to indicate that the island is not really interested in tourism. In Scotland, apparently, they have tackled this problem of the cost of travel. He says,
"Well, I'm used to living in the west of Scotland here and used to live in an island, so I use the ferries a lot, and I was quite taken as to how expensive the ferries were to the Isle of Man, and particularly when I got there and found out that there's no subsidy given to residents, because it's a very expensive way, and it's really the only way you can get off the island, obviously, with your car. And I just found it was really disincentive to tourists coming to the island, given the high cost."
In the islands of Scotland, does a subsidy exist for locals?
Well, we have RET, which is Road Equivalent Tariff, which is basically that you pay based on what it would have cost if you'd been driving that distance. And before that came into being, residents could buy bulk books of tickets, which gave them quite a significant discount on the published prices. So, yes, there was an incentive and a support to locals because, of course, they needed the ferries as a lifeline service.
The government's tourism challenges also include this: we are not making the most of our USPs, our unique selling points, our coastline, our countryside, our heritage, culture and arts, and our food and drink. Well, let's look at that top one, USPs. Well, here's a USP down here, which is not given an awful lot of attention, it has to be said. I'm sitting on a beach in the south of the island. There's rock armour all the way along here, which I can sit on, and it's coming up to high tide, so the sea is almost lapping at my feet. It's a lovely sandy beach, blue sea. All the seas around the island, apart from Laxian Peel, are now cleaned, and it is really a tremendous asset. And one would imagine people coming from Britain, apart from North Scotland, where the sea is pretty clean, mostly around the British Isles, the sea is not clean. It's rather grey and murky. But here it's beautifully blue, clear, and it's a pleasure to dip in, although it is a bit invigorating, it has to be said. Now, if the island is to get 500,000 people here, every opportunity should be exploited, one would assume. And this is surely an opportunity. But looking along, nobody here, really. No, nobody at all. I'm completely on a deserted beach here. There are no facilities, apart from the rocks to sit on. There are no toilets, definitely no cafes. I quite like it that way, because it's nice and quiet and private. But surely this is a facility that, if the island is serious about really boosting its tourism numbers, this is a facility that could be looked at, and at least looked as if it's a place where people should be encouraged to go to and enjoy themselves on their holidays. From the seaside, let's go to this extraordinary place in the north of the island. A, it's very difficult to get to, actually finding your way to the Bluff Carracks. And once you've got there, it's absolutely extraordinary. It's a summer's evening. It's, just after 6 o'clock. Absolutely still, there's no wind at all, and I'm walking down the grassed centre path, and on either side are these trees that are twisted and gnarled and bent like something out of the Lord of the Rings or something prehistoric. And looking around in there, you're trying to catch a glimpse of the more extraordinary inhabitants of the island. These, and I've just seen one coming down the path. It's left its tail hanging out on the path. It withdrew it quickly. The wallabies, hundreds of them that live in this area, and indeed have spread to the south of the island as well. Looking round, I expect there's one there. It's got its arms crossed, and there's another one behind it. And it's just sort of look, there it goes, hopping through the undergrowth. And for people who don't usually see these things outside zoos, it is an extraordinary experience and a unique selling point for the island to have these creatures living wild in this extraordinary place. Of course, there is a certain discussion at the moment about the inbreeding of wallabies and whether, in fact, they should be culled. Another USP on offer for the island is what I'm doing at the moment, e-biking. I'm going through a plantation, through the trees, over the paths. It really is fun, and people will find this fun. People are not quite so athletic as those who go out and go up those really tough trails on mountain bikes, because e-biking is a lot easier, and you can go a lot further. It means that a lot more of the island is open to people who want to come across, have a look at the scenery. And we've just come out into clearing, and it's absolutely gorgeous. The sun is shining, and people will come across to the island and be able to travel around it on these e-bikes. But of course, to make sure that they have the total experience, they have to be provided with places to stay, reasonable accommodation on good terms, not too expensive, so that they can get around the island and enjoy, say, 3 or 4 days exploring the trails of the island. And there is another opportunity if the island is going to attract 500,000 people a year as visitors. Get through this tricky bit. Then it's got to put a bit of work in to make sure that these facilities are available.
So swimming, cycling and wallaby watching, a number of things that could be tweaked to add lustre to the Manx offering to tourists as an add-on to the things that we've been gifted from the endeavours of our forebears, our two major castles and quite a number of other fortifications, and homes and houses and, of course, the railways, which could have been so much more had our politicians of the time. But then that's an old song, isn't it? Certainly the trains are being exploited in a handsome manner. The various themed trips attract good audiences, and the station appears to be the first halt for those, for many of those, who come ashore from the cruise ships, like this couple, who came a long way to see us.
You're from America?
Yes.
Whereabouts in America?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. So is this your first time to the island?
Yes.
And what do you make of it so far? I know you've only just come ashore.
Just come ashore about 10 minutes ago. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful, we have a beautiful day.
And what are you going to do with your time?
We're going up to the train station and going to Castletown.
Castletown.
Yes.
So you don't have trains like this back home, presumably? You don't have small steam trains on narrow gauge railways?
Well, in some little areas, in older areas, just nostalgia type things.
Yeah.
You know. Nothing working.
Yeah. Nothing working. Museum type things.
Yeah. Yes. But this one is a working railway, and
that's
you get
great.
On board. What else will you do? You're going down to Castletown just to have a look around?
Yes. Just kind of explore. Nothing really planned.
The government will want to know, are you going to spend money with us?
Of course.
Of course.
In what way? What lunch?
We'll eat and we'll have some beers.
Yeah. Some libations.
But then you're going back on board the cruise liner.
Yes.
You bet. This afternoon. Yep.
For this afternoon. Mm-hmm. So you won't be here for that long.
That's correct. We have to be back on so we can catch our boat to go to the next location.
You're strolling down our North Quay here, and you've just come actually opposite one of our bones of contention, which is a development here.
Yep.
A new start for North Quay, it says, a building there, and yet we've got this ruin. Does this spoil things for you when you see something like this?
Well, it's a little disappointing when you come here to see architecture and the landscape and to see what they want to do to modernize it. It's a little disappointing.
Yeah.
I mean, not to keep you away, but...
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we said. We're in the construction business, so we can kind of appreciate it.
You're in the construction
back home,
building.
Yeah,
what do you actually build?
Concrete.
We're a concrete company.
Curbs and flat work, sidewalks.
While you're walking around, you're having a look at buildings and thinking, how do they do this?
That's why we stopped and looked at this.
Would you build that, the picture of it? Would you think that's a good building?
I think that conforms. I think it's, modernized rather than have something that looks like it's about ready to fall down.
It does at the moment. Unfortunately, it's been propped up all.
Yeah, exactly.
Enjoy your stay.
say. I'm sorry for disturbing you on your trip.
No,
but you were, I noticed you were strolling not very quickly, so you're just looking around.
Yeah, well, it's beautiful.
I hope you enjoy our marina and atmosphere and all that.
Thanks for talking
nice
to
talking
us.
Nice talking to you. Cheerio.
For those with longer to stay, a walk in the countryside is popular. However, paths cutting through woods and willows tend to get crowded by vegetation, particularly during the growing season. A complaint is that they get overgrown, even touching in the middle on some occasions.
The island is blessed with many footpaths, many miles of footpaths, but the problems with footpaths is, and I'm here in Glen Chass, is that come the growing season, they grow, and they tend to, unless they're looked after, meet in the middle. A lot of people come to the island for the walks, I mean, we advertise them quite extensively, and they will have seen well-kept footpaths around the place. Now, we have the footpaths. The problem is, and it's very labour-intensive, of actually keeping them clear and keeping them looking very good. I mean, this is well-maintained, this path here, this steps going down here. And the vegetation is quite thick on either side, and it is quite passable. There's no problem with this one. But there are complaints that certain footpaths on the island are allowed to meet in the middle, and to get through them you need a machete and cut your way through. Perhaps that's a USP we could exploit. Come over to the Isle of Man with your machete, hack your way through our jungles, live life to the full. Perhaps, but then again, perhaps not.
And a problem with winding, beautiful country lanes is that they get overgrown as well.
Ah, madam, you're walking the dog here in Glen Chass.
Yes.
The footpaths are very close together. I mean, really, you have difficulty assuming that this is a two-way road. But what about when these overgrow? Is that a problem?
It is a problem. It's a bad problem. Very bad, yes. Like I say, they used to cut them.
Oh, there's a cyclist coming down. Hey. Hello.
Thank you, Mom.
That's certainly well used, yes. So this grows out and it makes the road even narrower.
Yes.
So how often do they cut it?
Once a year.
Just once?
Once.
What time of the year?
They've just done it.
Just done it now?
They've just
so
done
this
it
is halfway
now,
through the summer?
Yes.
But it could do probably with a couple of times, couldn't
like
it?
Like I said, they used to cut it twice a year, but they don't anymore.
That's presumably down to manpower and expense.
It is, yes.
But you feel it needs doing?
It does. It wants doing twice a year, definitely.
This series of programmes has reflected on Tourism Now and the reasons why this conservative island spent millions, 2.5 million at the time, but that would be much more now, on the Summerland complex in Douglas. It was designed to score heavily when the wind blew and the rain fell. So, what is the view of the tourists these days when that happens? Do we need some kind of major indoor facility to keep people out of the weather? Well, I chose a rainy day to go out and talk to visitors, and one aspect was, do other resorts across have facilities that the Manx might consider?
You've got people, you know, going from where I live to North Wales, to Festiniog, to the
mines.
To the mines, and also to they have a water centre there where they have paddleboarding and the likes, and also surfing as well.
So
they
you
have
can
like
actually
an
do the paddleboarding undercover,
there,
in
yeah.
effect.
Yeah, yeah, and they have one of those wire things that you can fly
zip
down.
Zipline.
Yeah, a zipline at 200 mile an hour or whatever it is.
So you reckon the island could do with something like this?
Well, it's got
quite expensive, aren't they?
Well. Yeah, but you've got the valleys and whatever, haven't you, to be able to sort of.
I suppose the island is competing with places like Blaena Ffestiniog. People see that and say, there's something missing here.
Yeah.
Well, it's pouring with rain, and with me is a visitor to the island, your first time.
Stephen Coupland,
Where'd you come from?
From Darlington in County Durham.
So this weather is pretty awful for July. It's throwing it down with rain. What do you make of it?
It's unbelievable for July. Hmm. It surprised us, the weather. But then again, it's the same back in Darlington now. Suns are back in Darlington. It's exactly the same there. It's doing the garden good.
It's doing. You've been here for a few days.
We came a week yesterday, so this is, our eighth, ninth day. Our ninth night tonight.
It's quite a long time for a trip to the island. What have you been looking at? What have you been
Everything.
Seeing?
Everything. We bought the seven-day bus pass, which is an absolute bargain. And we've been to Port Erin, been to Ramsey, Laxey, Castletown,
What do you go on holiday to do? What do you go on holiday to see?
Just to walk round and see the sights. And I mean, we've loved the tram. We've loved the train. Outdoor life, walking and seeing nice things. And
the paths?
Yeah, you can't beat it in this place.
There
it's
are
fabulous.
Some complaints that the paths are overgrown and that it's a fight to get through them. Have you found that?
Well, no. I plan to do the full walk around the island. Is it 94 miles? Yeah, I plan to do that. Towns with the castles and the scenery, the harbours, it's lovely.
Sir, you look absolutely miserable. Now, you're huddling in a doorway here.
No, that's all right. It's just a bit of wet weather. We're used to that anyway. So.
You're from the Isle of Wight, but that's not an Isle of Wight accent.
Yeah, Isle of Wight accent.
That's what it sounds like, is it?
Born and bred.
So yeah. You're used to islands.
Oh, yeah. I've had a couple of ferries to get to here, but always wanted to come to the Isle of Man.
Why?
Oh, never been. Always wanted to come there, you know, to see a bit of different wildlife.
What have you heard about it?
Well, it's just a
independent island in the middle of the Irish Sea.
And I like the idea of, you know, the old TT races and, you know, I like motorbikes, so.
Well, you're huddling, as I say, in this doorway. What are you going to do when it finally stops raining?
Well, we thought we'd do a bit of shopping today around Douglas.
So it's quite a few. How many is over?
Well, we're on a coach trip, a full coach trip.
Yeah.
So not only from the island, but from the south of England. So, so we had a lovely day out yesterday, beautiful weather. So seen seals and choughs. We've had one train trip. We've got another two to come yet.
You enjoy those?
Yeah. It was on the steam train yesterday.
Do you go abroad at all?
We used to do, but COVID stopped us doing that. We haven't been away since 2019 abroad. And we've stayed in Scotland, England, you know, we've done the Cotswolds, we've done the Northumberland coast, we've done the tour of Scotland, the 500
round
Scotland.
How does this compare?
This is marvellous, it's marvellous. The scenery is excellent. It's as good as being in Scotland or anywhere else. The mountains aren't as dramatic, but the scenery is just as nice.
They're very friendly, the mountains. You can get up them quite quickly.
Yeah, we went up Peel Hill yesterday.
Yeah.
And it was lovely up Peel Hill, seeing the scenery changing every few yards. Something. It's wonderful.
Would you come back?
Definitely. But next time we'll bring a car.
I would love to come back, you know. Still so much, because we're never going to see it all this week. I don't think we're going to go right to the north of the island. But we should go pretty well, about three quarters of the way up, I think, before the end of the week. So yeah, it'd be good.
It's great that you're so cheerful.
Yeah.
Despite today being a bit.
I had some of your local beer last night, so that was good. Yeah, that was very good. But yeah, it's been interesting to see how it all sort of pans out. You know, having a walk about. But I find it very. You know, there's a lot of shops, a lot of things to see and do.
See, because people say a lot of shops are shutting down, but you don't find that.
But it's not overcrowded. We went to Castletown yesterday, and I found that very quiet. Ever so nice, but quiet. So, to be honest, we could have done with a little bit less time there, and more time places like the Calf. Matt, because I mean the stunning scenery and the wildlife. I could have stayed there for two or three days, you know. It's fantastic, lovely big flocks of chough, and you know, the only thing I didn't see was a basking shark.
You have to go a bit out to sea to see them.
Yeah.
What's your first name?
Nigel.
Thank you very much for talking to me.
No, pleasure.
And we hope to see you again.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah,
madam, have you enjoyed yourself?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely, will come back.
But you've got your umbrella up. It's pouring it down with rain.
It is.
It's been nice, but today is dreadful. But you're just going to bear it and get on with it, do you?
Yeah, exactly. That's what we do. Thank you.
So we have set ourselves a target of 500,000 visitors a year. Is that achievable with our present setup? Or do we need to improve the offer to be bolder on what we do with the assets the island has inherited? As we've heard, the audience is certainly there, folk who love what is currently on offer, even without major bits of infrastructure for wet days. But putting that to one side, let us just remember the focus of these three programmes, the disaster that resulted in 50 lost lives. And 50 years ago, that cruel lesson should not be forgotten. I'm John Moss, Gau Caerail.